Hey, Mitch.
Yeah, we're still stuck in Texas. I don't really know. Like, we make a big deal of it every time. I'm just kind of, I'm here. Like, I'm dealing with it. I'm stuck in Texas. I'm never getting out.
Awesome. Well, it's our podcast about mentoring. It's me mentoring you as the old mom, and it's you mentoring me as a old comedian.
I almost wish we would have named it something different, like help me help you or something like that, so that each week I wasn't just reminding myself that I'm stuck in Texas.
Well, you know, when we get that time machine.
That would be nice.
I mean, someone might choose to use it for a bigger problem, but definitely I think we should use our time machine.
To go back and rename our podcast.
Excellent, yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'd probably go back a little bit further to when I made the decision to move to Texas.
Then I would never have met you. I mean, trade-offs, I guess. What's going on in your Billy life?
Well, I have returned to work from my surgeries that I had. So I've been back to work for about a month and a half now, maybe going on 2 months. And honestly, like, I'm kind of out of touch with what's going on with Billy. I'm with her for a few hours in the morning before I go to work, but I'm not getting all the time that I was before. And I'm starting to realize, like, I don't know what's wrong with her anymore. You know what she's doing right now is when she gets frustrated, she's flinging her head back a lot, and she's caught Lee and I a couple times in the mouth.
Ooh, that's rough.
Oh, it hurts so bad. You just want to, like, throw her across the room, but then you're also like, you can't do that. So just hold her and say, don't do that. It hurts, Mommy. It hurts, Daddy.
So one of the things in life as well as in child rearing is if you can avoid using the words no or don't, you get better results. So if I tell you, do not think about a pink elephant, what are you thinking about?
An orange elephant.
So
a pink elephant,
for
obviously.
Sure. Yeah. So if I tell you instead, think of a orange hippopotamus. It's going to happen either way. So you want to find a way, if you can, to direct it to something positive.
I have actually heard this before on the podcast that I like to listen to called Stuff You Should Know. They did an episode on this guy who was supposedly like the highest IQ ever. And one of the things was like his parents set out to raise a genius. And then they put out some guidelines on how to do that. And one of the things was not to say no to your kids, to instead tell them the thing that you want them to do as opposed to the thing you don't want them to do. I remember that, and so I've tried to implement it, but I'm not a genius, so sometimes I slip up a little bit.
Well, at this point, I feel like we should blame our parents for not raising us as geniuses.
Yeah, I think, you know, my mom, she could have done more. My dad definitely could have done more. To be honest, we're lucky that I'm here. I was born in 1980. Parents didn't really try that much. We were like the first generation, I think, really raised by like TV.
I like TV.
Yeah, it's great, but it's a problem.
When Billy's flinging her head back, how can you reframe that into a statement that does not involve the words no or not?
Billy, I want you to sit still.
That's good. I might start by identifying the feeling, right? Billy, it looks like you're frustrated. When we're frustrated, it helps to whatever.
Okay.
So if you name the emotions, it helps her get better in touch with what her emotions are, too.
Funny that you say that. Her mom and she have been practicing their emotional faces together.
Oh, how fun is that?
It's terrifying because she's eventually going to be able to manipulate me, and I'm very concerned about that.
It's cute that you think that's going to happen eventually.
I had a friend who had this joke where he walked by his daughter's room, and she was like 7, and she was practicing her different faces in the mirror where she was making like an angry face, and then she was making a happy face, and then a sad face, and then a happy face, and then an angry face. And he was like, oh, all I know is that whoever ends up marrying her is fucked. Like, I feel sorry for that guy. And that's Gabriel Rutledge, one of the funniest comedians that I've ever known that isn't incredibly famous right now.
So, Mitch.
Yes, Kelly.
I think it's great to name the emotions as Billy is getting more words, even if she can't identify or say the words yet.
Yes.
You're laying the groundwork. You're creating an emotional genius.
I think that's really good advice, but I may try and work this in my favor to where I just continue to tell her, hey, it looks like you're happy right now. Hey, it looks like you're happy right now. Hey, are you happy right now? And then she's just going to grow up thinking that she's had just the happiest childhood.
I love it. I love it. What's your dog's name again, according to Billy?
No Duke. She hears us correcting him quite a bit. That was mine.
Okay. Just make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
It might be Lee or something.
No, it was my Ring notification, so I don't know. Oh, she's like going out to the car. She's getting stuff
ready
so I can go to the farmer's market for tomorrow. Really looking forward to being in that weather. That's cool.
Is it cold?
Yeah, it's going to be cold as shit.
Do you want my big buddy?
No, I have a heater.
Okay.
You know, just making a sacrifice for my wife.
Yeah. I'll let you know when your sacrifices for your wife add up to her giving birth to your child.
I think I'm already there. I gave up my dream and bought a house for us. I don't even want to take a heater with me. That way I can suffer a little bit more and make her feel bad.
It's very manly of you.
Oh, it was so cold and I didn't even have the heater. Why didn't you have the heater? I didn't know where you put it. I couldn't find it. You know, something like that. Anyway, she's waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to make croissants. So
those croissants look so good.
They are.
What's your wife's Instagram?
Abington Avenue Pastry, Abington with 1B. It's named after the road that her grandmother lived on.
That's sweet.
In Detroit.
That is sweet.
Yeah, she's really good too. So, but it's not that it's a competition or anything, but we are going to see if I sell more pastries tomorrow at the farmer's market than she normally does. Because of my charming personality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
All right, now what's next? What do we got?
Comedy, if you're done.
Yeah, I feel like I've pretty much got this parent thing down.
I think you're killing it.
Let's hope not. Charges could be filed.
All right, so in comedy, I only did an open mic this week. That's it. And I took new material.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to push myself to write new material every week.
Well, let's just review a little something from last week. It was that you were having a little bit of comedy, work, life balance. So those three things were like overrunning a lot. And so you pulled back a little bit.
I did.
I think one thing that can do is, number one, it can help you really appreciate the stage time that you're doing. But also, like, you're able to, you know, enjoy other aspects of your life. So how did it feel not going up as much as you have been?
Honestly, the not going up as much wasn't that upsetting. The upsetting thing was like, I don't have any dates that I'm really looking forward to. And that's the first time that's happened in a while. So instead of getting anxious about it, which is where my personality would generally lean, I decided to just lean into it and use this as a chance to really write some good new material.
Okay.
We'll see if I accomplished any of that.
Yeah, you're really upselling it right now.
Well, I'm not saying this is it, okay. But it's an attempt.
All right.
You ready for it?
I am.
My job is to sit in a small dark room, play music, and talk to people who aren't there. Basically, identical to my childhood. I am a radio DJ, ordinary, old-school, terrestrial radio. It was huge in the 20th century, so I'm a bit behind. I don't have a punchline there, but I'm working on it. It's a placeholder.
I was just trying to think of another old career type that you could pair it along with.
Like once newspaper?
Once I'm done with this, I think next I'll get into be a horse farrier, you know, or I've been thinking of taking up blacksmithing. I'm just trying to think of all the different types of outdated career fields that there are. But that's what I would do.
I like that.
Okay.
I was thinking about somehow tying this, and I haven't gotten there yet. Somehow, I am the most hipster 40-ish-year-old woman ever. Like, these 20-something hipsters got nothing on me. I'm living the life.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to think about, like, what kind of style or something that the hipsters have, and then maybe compare that to, like, some kind of article of clothing. It's been so long since I've been around actual hipsters.
You've forgotten it. I'm wiped it from your brain.
I'm kind of out of it. But the way you said the 20th century, I do want to point out that you have used that in another joke before.
I did, about my wedding and marriage and...
Yeah, when you're talking about the cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I think the joke was, I got married in the 20th century.
Yes.
Or I got married in the last century or something along those lines.
So how did that joke work then?
Got a lot of gasps, like kind of like, ooh,
Okay.
Like that. So if I was doing them both in the same set, it could be, I don't know. I have a minor in English literature, mm-hmm. and in English literature, we call that repetition. It's something, it's a device that's used a lot in music as well, but I don't know if it's a device you use in comedy.
Well, I mean, things are usually funny once. But, I mean, if you're not doing it in the same set, then it's not that big of a deal. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Continue on with the joke about the gangbang.
Everything I really enjoy doing tends to be me and a bunch of guys. Not like that. I have considered getting a t-shirt made, no trains run here. I am the only female on-air personality in town. I am the only female local comedian. I am the only female who chooses to use the urinals.
That's funny. I like that. I think you should do more about using a urinal. Like, there's got to be something, some more funny stuff there, you know? Like, maybe it's good practice for when your husband doesn't put the seat down, or...
That's hilarious.
You know, like, the hardest part about a woman using a urinal is deciding which way you're going to face when you sit down on it. I don't know. Like, I just imagine there's more urinal-related humor.
I'm into it.
All right, keep going. I'm sorry.
Not to brag, but I get loads of handwritten fan mail, all from prison. I'm not sure if it has to do with my absolute pure love of rock music or that I have a vagina.
I think one thing you could say is, I will say the quality of the paper that the prison is issuing them is not good because the pages are always stuck together. You know, because they're passionate fans. I've seen some of your fan mail, and you get a lot of drawings.
I do.
Which is interesting because a lot of people in jail are pretty good at drawing.
For sure.
And I wonder if that was something that they developed in prison or if they were like talented artists prior to that. It's somewhat similar to Hitler, where he was in art school and he got shut down from art school and then turned into a maniac dictator. I wonder if these people in prison were growing up hoping to be artists one day and then were like, you know what, I'm just going to steal cars.
You know, it's probably the school's fault for pushing STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mannequins. Math.
I think.
Yeah, they cut the art out. They said, you don't need this to do well in life.
This world needs more artists, less murderers. We have to encourage their art.
I don't know who else gets exclusively fan mail with inmate numbers as the return address. There's one prisoner who has a clearly expressed crush on me. My husband asked me why I was saving all his letters. Honestly, for the court case.
Evidence, yeah. I think... Just say evidence. I think that's funny, yeah.
And then I wrote this line that my husband put his foot down and said I had to take out. But I said, I'm just going to line it because Mitch will think this shit's funny. I've listened to enough true crime podcasts to recognize the origin stories of a murder.
Yeah, why is he saying to take that out?
He said that you shouldn't speak shit like that into the universe.
That's valid, I guess. Yeah, I mean... There is something to manifesting things, and there are a lot of people in prison that do like you right now, so maybe that's not the best thing to put out there, I guess.
I picked up a new fan in the last couple of weeks who writes me letters. The first
That's
time,
very serial killerish.
The first time I got a letter from him, I was like, did somebody tear a page out of a book and mail it to me? With our format, rock... Our audio engineer cranks the gain on our vocal processor. It turns my normal speaking voice into that of a sultry vixen. I speak like this. It turns into this.
Yeah, and there's another guy on the radio who talks like this.
Magic.
Hey, I wonder what I sound like on the radio. I've never listened to our podcast, so I'm very curious what I sound like through these microphones.
Even though I have been on air for years, I'm completely anonymous walking around. It's likely because my loyal fan base is locked up.
Yeah, not a lot of people see you on the streets because they're not on the streets.
I like putting myself in situations where people have no choice but to listen. That's how I became a mom.
That's good. So when you're talking about putting yourself in situations where people have no choice but to listen, you can also say that's why I love elevators. And then I'm trying to think of at least one other thing where people would have to... Oh, that's why I love elevators and plane rides.
I always pick the middle seat.
Then two people have to listen to you. Also, that's where you fit the best.
So I was flying in the middle seat from...
Aruba?
I was flying I was flying in the Jamaica.
Ooh, I want it. Anyway, go ahead.
To Bermuda, Bahamas.
Was it amazing?
It was.
Okay.
I was there for 22 hours, so I spent just as much time traveling. So I was in the middle seat flying from Miami to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting next to a snuggler on one side. So she would just curl up. Her ass would come under my armrest.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was just rubbing her butt on me for like a 6-hour flight. And then on the...
Wait, could you just say that a little slower, please?
And she was smoking hot and she was really nice. But just, you know, butts are gross. And then on the other side, there was a lady who didn't want to put her purse under her seat. So her purse was just jammed into me for the 6 hours.
Like next to her?
Yes. So she had
it. That's annoying.
She had her purse attached to her, but it was one of those like boxy purses with like hard corners. Mm-hmm. And she kept jabbing me with it.
Was it Louis Vuitton? That sounds like something a person with a Louis Vuitton would do.
It was something expensive, but honestly, yeah. I care so little about purse culture that I don't even know. My dad asked me how I figured out how to get paid to talk about nothing. I told him I just started comedy. I haven't figured out how to get paid.
That's good.
That's all I got.
I liked it. I thought, you know, obviously we punched a couple things up, but for the most part, that's pretty spot on, I think.
I have, like, other notes of things that have to do with radio. I want you to know, around here, I am the youngest person on air. So the first time I worked in radio, we had CDs.
Right.
And I take
CDs nuts.
I take so much shit from the guys because I wasn't queuing up records and using carts for commercials. That's the way it used to be.
You don't know what it was like in the old days.
Yeah, I get a lot of that whippersnapple.
Yeah. Peckerwood. My granddad, as he got older, and there was a woodpecker outside the front door, talked to me on the phone, and he'd be like, yeah, there's a beautiful peckerwood out there in the tree. And I was like, I think it's a woodpecker. Granny was like, yeah, that's what I said. it was kind of adorable.
So I don't know if I should write more radio jokes or if this is plenty. Is this something that I should try to stretch into a 5-minute?
I would expand upon it more, for sure. I think you could probably compare being a DJ to going to open mics because you're reaching about the same amount of people. Also, like, stand-up comedy and being a radio DJ are very similar, and, like, the amount of money that you get paid hasn't changed since the 80s. You know, you'll go on road gigs and you'll get paid $200. Which isn't a lot when you're driving and you're putting $80 worth of gas in your car or whatever. So the two have a lot in common, where they're these things that I think people still think is kind of cool. The format has changed. Now it's podcasting, you know, where you get your fame from, because anyone can hear it all over the world.
Right.
So if you have a good one, a lot of people are listening. And with stand-up comedy, you know, being on the road just doesn't help anymore. It's social media. That's where you got to get your kick at now. Well, let's talk about it then.
Mitch Burrow.
Yes.
You have MitchBurrow.com.
Well, I did. My website is defunct right now because I was trying to move it over, and I'm not technologically skilled with things like that. So don't go to MitchBurrow.com. It's under construction.
Under construction.
But I have Instagram, I have TikTok, I have Facebook and Twitter. Like, I have the main social media platforms.
Right.
And I think that is important. I think that's more important than having a website. No one's just going to seek out your website. When you start, like, doing something where you're on tour or something like that, that's when having a website matters. But let me just show you, for example, this morning I posted a video on TikTok. So it's been about, I don't know, 12 hours. And now that video has 250,000 views.
Holy moly. Which one was it?
It's just a short clip from that show, that open mic we did in Dallas.
Okay.
All right. So if I go to the analytics for it, it doesn't have a lot of data right now, but 250,000 people have seen it. 28,000 people have liked it. 223 people made comments. 621 have shared it. And 1,373 have saved it to their favorites.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big impact. Made its way in front of a good amount of people. I don't know exactly how many followers I've added, but it's around 1,000 in one day. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. I would say, like, as my videos on TikTok usually range in the thousands of views, but I have a couple where this one's 250,000, one's got 1.2 million, and this is what builds up your fan base.
Okay. May I ask, with it coming out of that last program, what sort of software or app are you using to chunk out a piece of your video?
Well, I use Adobe Premiere now, but honestly, like, as long as you stay in frame, you can just use what's on your iPhone. I actually haven't used the Adobe Premiere on any of these videos. What I do is I set my phone up
right at
the show, and I take a video of it, and then I just edit a 1 minute clip out from there. So that's one thing to think about. A lot of stuff on social media, you have YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, TikTok. These are all 1 minute.
Right.
If you just put a 1 minute clip down, so you know that's going to help you kind of focus on writing really tight bits. And you know, your whole joke can be a few minutes long, but just have those bits like chopped up in there. So for instance, the one that I'm trying to figure out now is about the cat watching us have sex. Not you and me, but my wife and I. It just sounded weird the way that I said it. That right now is right around like a minute 30 or something okay. like that. So I'm trying to figure out what I can do to trim that down so that it's either one minute bit, or figure out how to do like two different jokes that are about a minute long, but they kind of stand alone. Now, a lot of people use the platform to post crowd work, and that's good. I did that video of the cop.
That was a great clip.
And it's got like 20,000 views on Instagram or something like that. It didn't do as well on TikTok, but, you know, I post them on a couple different platforms just to keep kind of building up the following.
What do you use to get the words onto your...
That is on Instagram and TikTok. They have a thing where you can just put captions and it will automatically do it. So let's say you film, I'm going to use the terms portrait and landscape, mm-hmm. right? So portrait is 9x16 up and down. Landscape is 9x16 like a widescreen TV horizontally.
Right. Just like when you print something off your printer.
So let's say you want to get a video in landscape mode so that you get the whole stage, right? We use Adobe Premiere, and when you put the video in there, they have a thing called auto framing, and you just turn it to 9x16, and it has a program that's going to have it follow your movement on stage so that you don't ever step out of frame after you've changed it to 9x16 and zoomed in on you.
Okay, so it's filmed in landscape, and when you edit it into portrait,
but it follows your movement
and it follows you.
Yes, I guess there's a subtitle effect in that as well, but you can just upload the video straight to Instagram or TikTok, and there is an option there to get your subtitles done, which is great, because in the past I was paying like some money to send it off to another group to do the subtitling for me.
Okay.
But it's funny. So like this joke, I mentioned the stage play based off of the book To Kill a Mockingbird, and the subtitles, I didn't catch it. It put down Tequila Mockingbird, which if I ever have a literary based bar, that's going to be the margarita. Tequila Mockingbird Margarita.
Shoot, it might be the whole name of the bar.
Yeah, maybe. Tequila Mockingbird, that would be great.
Just a bunch of birds flying into the walls, drunk off their asses.
Yeah, all the walls it's just glass. Like your social media, real quick. So you have kept your work life and your personal life separated. Whatever your work in stand-up comedy is going to be, you need to maybe start putting some work into having social media with that. So
I did make social media accounts.
I saw you have Facebook.
I have Facebook, and so I got kicked off of Instagram.
What did you do?
I don't know.
That's a lie. You know what you did. They give you a letter that says exactly what you did.
I don't know.
Were you bullying some of your kids' classmates?
No, I honestly don't know. I use my Instagram to promote my business.
Yeah.
I don't even know how, because what I do is pretty innocuous.
I mean, yeah, you sell burning crosses. I can't imagine why.
Somebody tagged me for something, and I didn't respond to the mail that they sent because I wasn't checking it.
Mm-hmm.
because my business is seasonal, I don't check it every day.
Yeah.
And by the time some time thing had passed and my Instagram got destroyed, like, I can't even get it back.
That's weird. So you just need to start a new one for Kelly Quinn.
I did.
Yeah, okay. So you have Facebook. Uh-huh. You have Instagram.
I do.
Okay, so now you just need to start a TikTok. So there's stuff, like, behind the scenes that you could do. First of all, you and I, we need to have a video aspect of this so that we can start putting it up on YouTube as well as TikTok and stuff. But, like, if I were you, I would film some of your stuff here at work. Make some funny videos when you're at the radio station and throw those up on TikTok and stuff. I think you have an opportunity to build an even larger fan base, not just based on your comedy stuff. You know, like, let's bring these worlds together. I just, you know, I had a video get, I don't know, like 40-some thousand views because I was talking about none of the planets are in retrograde right now. So I do, like, some astrology stuff on there.
Why do you know this?
Because I look it up so I can make stupid videos about it. You know, like, I don't care. But yeah, I made a video saying that no planets are in retrograde, and it got 57,000 views.
Wow, that is unreal.
But, like, my most viewed video about that stuff was, it was like the first video that I did that went kind of viral, and that was about Mercury being in retrograde. And that one got like 300 and something thousand views. People just love a redneck with a mustache telling them what their horoscope is.
It's fabulous. It's like the juxtaposition.
Yeah, I think so. Like, a lot of people just comment, like, redneck astrology is a thing. Well, I'm here to stay. You know, it's just...
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So I think that perhaps you could find something here in your DJ life to add to your TikTok persona. Like, you know, like, I mean, you are you. Here, I think that you really need to embrace who you are.
Right.
And focus on that. Which brings me to one more thing.
Okay.
I love you. I don't want you to ever get mad at me. But I'm going to say something. And I need you to think about it. Okay?
Okay.
I think you need to stop wearing your wigs on stage.
Okay.
Because they're distracting.
They're cute.
They're distracting. It makes it look like you're... And listen, I really hesitate to say anything about someone's appearance and what they're doing. But I was just thinking about you going to Kill Tony.
Right.
And if you got pulled up on stage, they wouldn't have talked to you about anything other than...
The fact that I had blue hair.
The fact that you... Not that you had blue hair. The fact that you were wearing a blue-haired wig.
Oh, come on. It's a really good wig.
You just shook your head no.
There's no way they would know it's a wig.
That is a micro thing that where you were saying.
It's not against the fact that you don't think I should wear wigs. It's the fact that you think I'm wearing cheap enough wigs that they'll be able to tell.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's a freaking gorgeous wig.
How much did the wig cost?
About $250.
$250?
U.S. dollars, yeah.
$250.
Mm-hmm.
Is that for real?
It's human hair.
That's wild. I mean, I don't think if it was unicorn hair, I don't think I would pay that much for a wig.
Well, you should consider wearing wigs on stage.
Okay, we'll see. Now I feel like I'm being attacked. I just, like, you are you, and...
I did not wear a wig to the open mic that I did this week.
Okay. And is that the first time that you've been on stage without wearing one?
Maybe one other time. But I mean, not in a show.
Yeah.
Not in a show. I've worn a wig to every show.
Yeah. I just think maybe not.
You think? Okay.
I cannot stress how uncomfortable this is for me because I've had women that I've done comedy with talk about how guys say they shouldn't dress a certain way or that they dress down because they don't want for people to, like, they think that looking attractive is going to take away from their humor or whatever. And I've I don't feel like it's my place. However, I do think that I could maybe just offer this little bit of advice, and that is the blue or the pink or whatever, like it just, I feel like you should just cut all this and we pretend like it never happened.
So I want to talk to you real quick about why I wear wigs. So a couple of years ago, I got sick and all my hair fell out.
I remember you've told me this, which is another reason why, like, I knew that this was something, it was anemia, right?
Right. And it was really bad. Before that, I had for a decade bleached my hair, colored it all kinds of fun, fabulous colors, and it was a part of me. And then my hair fell out, and I didn't have that anymore. I instantly aged like 20 years, and it was insane. And I kind of got into wigs because I felt more like me with that hair because mine was all gone. Now my hair is growing back. Yeah. And I don't need to wear wigs, but my hair's not good enough that I can bleach it out and color it yet. So,
well, I hope everyone feels good about this.
Well, I guess I think that it's really funny because if you think about a wig, it's maybe like, maybe you're taking it like I'm trying to hide who I really am.
I mean, you were starting out by being a character named Kiki.
Well, that's actually what my mom calls me.
Right, but you were absolutely, like, you were doing this kind of ditzy
for sure
thing,
for
and
sure.
I was like, hey, you know, just kind of be yourself. But
I think that's really good advice, though, because I was more comfortable being a character than sort of putting myself out there, and I think that's something that you're noticing I'm struggling with, not just with creating a character or wearing a wig, but I'm not putting my true self out there on my social media.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you've only been doing this for, I mean,
seven
you're
months.
Still less than a year. Yeah, so not even, you know, barely over half a year, which would be 6 months. As you can tell, I'm very uncomfortable right now.
You're fine. And
I know, but, like, it's just, like, I didn't even want to bring it. Anyway, so, hold on, let me just refocus what I'm saying here.
Is this because none of the planets are in retrograde?
No, actually, like with planets not being in retrograde, there's nothing holding you back. It's a time of forward momentum.
So that's it. There's nothing holding you back from saying I should ditch the wigs.
Let me ask you this,
though. There's probably plenty of cancer patients out there who could benefit from them all.
Let's drop the wig thing. I do have one question. Do you think if you worked out more, your neck wouldn't be loose?
Oh, that's awesome. So,
I really hope this isn't anyone's first time listening because they're going to think I'm just a real, real asshole to you.
I think what Mitch was saying is no matter what assholic things that he says to me, my husband's still a bigger asshole.
But no, so like being 7 months in, you're not going to really, I mean, unless you're just really amazing, which I think you are. But when it comes to stand-up comedy, it's going to take like 3 years to actually figure out who you are up there. You know, I mean, and maybe if you listen to this podcast and then come see me live, it might not seem like it because I'm in front of a microphone. But I think I definitely get more of a twang when I'm performing.
Your twang turns up in front of any microphone.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm not even saying like who you are on stage is necessarily exactly who you are in your day-to-day life.
Right, like I don't actually use a urinal much.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, and you don't actually poop on the side of the road
much.
All I'm saying is like in time, you are going to really get comfortable and find your, this is a phrase that they like to use, find your voice on that stage. And again, it might not be exactly who you are off stage in your day-to-day life, but you're going to find out who you are on that stage. And, you know, I think a good place to start is just who you are. But your background as to why you wear the wig, it actually, like, yeah, I get it. That could absolutely be something that just makes you feel more of who you are, considering that's how you wore your hair in the past.
It is how I wore my hair, but, you know, I can grow up.
I don't want to grow up.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
I mean, ultimately, the best advice that I can give you in stand-up comedy is not to take anyone's advice. To just do what you want to do. You know, I'm just here giving an outsider's perspective. I mean, I really hate the fact that it's even a thing that your appearance would matter at all.
The first thing that anybody sees before a word comes out of your mouth is what you look like.
Right.
And based on what you're wearing or how you look, people make assumptions right away.
Well, let me ask you this, and be honest.
Yes.
If we were at a show and someone walked up with bright blue hair, what would be your initial thought?
Marge Simpson.
I mean, if it was styled up in the form of a skyscraper, I guess so. But, I mean, would you think that, oh, this person is taking this seriously? Or would you think that this person is a character?
I would think this person has great hair.
Okay, then.
I mean, I don't claim to think that my brain works the same way as everybody else's.
I mean, I don't think anybody's brain works the same as anybody else's, but this is a lot more time being spent on this than I wanted to.
Hey, Mitch.
Yes.
What's your character tattoo on your arm say?
On the left arm, it says evil, which explains a lot about what's going on right now. And on the right arm, it says good. However, I do think that people make assumptions and judge people with their tattoos, and pretty much most of the time I'm on stage, I'm wearing long sleeve shirts.
That's true.
I mean, first of all, Japanese writing on a white guy, kind of douchey. And then tribal tattoo sleeve, even more douchey.
I think it's not necessarily douchey. I think it says that you got your tattoos in the late 90s.
Yeah, so that's dating myself right there.
Right, it is.
I was a douchey guy in the 90s. To me, it's not like I don't want people to see that, and then that's what they're focused on.
Right, okay.
And I don't wear shirts that say anything or... And again, like, I'm not... There's this woman based out of... she's a booker that does stuff, and her whole thing is about what people wear on stage. That you should dress nice, that you should be a professional. Like, she gives people crap for wearing a hoodie or something like that. And it's like, hey, this is not the 80s. We're not doing stand-up on the Tonight Show, going out wearing a suit. Like, people just dress comfortably now because who they are is what they are on stage. So I'm a big proponent against, which I guess would be an opponent. I'm a big opponent about what I'm saying right now. I'm against what I'm saying.
Okay.
In that what you say on stage is what matters.
Okay.
You can go up there in a fish suit or whatever, but as long as you're funny, that's all that should matter. With that being said, when I was starting out, I would always wear like a button-up shirt and a sport coat. It was a much different look. And with my material, it just didn't match.
Right.
And once I started dressing down, more casual, because I'm more of a redneck or whatever on stage, I really kind of like talk more about my being from the South, my being in the military, things that I, like that guy doesn't wear a sport coat.
Right. I see that.
So like do you and find you. And if you want to wear your wigs, I mean, you know, I'm all for it. I'm just bringing up something that is distracting to me. When you're up there, and I don't know if it's distracting to other people or not, but, you know, it was worth bringing up.
Right. Do you think it's distracting to you because you see me natural most of the time?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, you know, you're being a lot more insightful into this topic than I am, for sure. I can give you this quick comparison. If you ever order, like, a sweet tea, and they give it to you in a cup with a straw with the lid on, and then you take a sip of it, and it's like Dr. Pepper... It's like, you like both of those things, but you were expecting one thing, and the other one is just very shocking.
Right.
I like the wigs, but I am always with you when you're not wearing a wig.
Right.
And so when I see that, it is shocking to me. So maybe someone who's never seen you before.
Right.
It's just like, oh, look at that cool blue-haired chick.
I don't know.
Oh, Marge Simpson-looking ass.
That's right. The homeless guy would call me Blueberry.
The homeless guy?
There's a lot of them. Hey, Blueberry. I bet your juice is sweet.
Oh, no. No. Oh, man. That's what we're going to end the podcast with? Oh, that's going to hurt some people. That's scarring. They're just going to walk around with that thought in their mind.
Oh, you don't think they like blueberries?
Guy just has three teeth in his mouth talking about, yeah, I bet your juice is sweet.
It sounds more homeless coming from you.
Yeah.
Is that just a beat you're working on?
I have no idea.
It sounds like a little hi-hat. Ta-da.
All right, I'm ready.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, hold on. You're either contagious. You can't just start one and then be like,
I won't do it again.
Okay.